Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It's a little pocket awareness. You guys already know what to do. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1. Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Follow me and Chris on Twitter at the Mark John NFL and at King Manelos for Chris. Also, you know, Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. And also hit the download button, please. Download and hit us on Spotify. All right. ALPA is back for another week of, you know, I had disappointment. Chris had a week off, so he didn't have to have to suffer.
I didn't get heartbreak. Finally.
You know? So, you know, we just have my team review with the 16-3 debacle. You know, I guess it started the car wars or something. I see this. Now it's not the car debate. It's called the car wars. I don't know why. I don't know why he would argue over Derek Carr after every loss. It's just weird. I mean, guys.
It is weird. He doesn't have two of his top three receiving options, and his offensive line is in shambles. Like, how can you even blame this on him?
No, Chris, the problem is the offensive line is good. That's the problem. That's what people think. But it's just basically because Colton Miller and Jermaine Illuminor are playing really good. But I saw this metric that some guy was trying to, you know, because everybody was attacking the metric that everybody uses against me for the Raiders. Like, all of film Twitter was attacking this one guy who was trying to say that the Lions don't have a good offensive line. He hasn't ranked 23rd.
Lions have one of the best in the league, don't they?
He hasn't ranked 23rd. Okay.
So he has the Lions offensive line ranked 23rd.
Yes. And the Raiders have a top 10 offensive line. They're ranked 7th. Now, he tried to save himself, and this one really exposed it. He changed it to true pass sets using PFF, right? Because PFF tries to say, like, a true pass set is like no stun or blitz, whatever. So they try to split it up that way, and the Raiders are ranked 4th, okay? But he puts the tackle, guard, and center grades opposite. So the Raiders' tackle grade is like a 78 because Colton Miller is really good. Jermaine Illuminor, they're both graded really high. But then he gets to guard, okay? And the guard grade is 47. Ooh. And I'm thinking, so they don't have a top 10 offensive line. Cool. Thanks. I mean, if your guard suck, I mean, that's obviously worse to me because the quarterback can avoid, he can step up.
This is the biggest thing about the NFL. If you get interior pressure, you are screwed.
Screwed.
As a quarterback, you're absolutely screwed. The only guy, there's probably maybe three guys in the NFL. No, I wouldn't even say three. There's two guys in the NFL right now. No. Lamar Jackson is the only guy in the NFL that I think that can beat interior pressure. Because of his ability to bounce it, and you've got to bounce it like you're Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady when he ran for like 500 yards backwards, the one that they lost. Like,
yeah,
you got to be doing that kind of stuff to have any type of success against an interior pass rush. That is the worst thing as a quarterback. Interior pass rush is the absolute worst. You can't beat anything once they're coming right up the middle at you.
Exactly. And that's what Derek Carr's been facing all year is interior pressure, which is the worst type of pressure. Because even if you think about, like, the scrambling quarterbacks, like Patrick Mahomes, right? His tackles are, you know, they're okay. But his interior is amazing. So then he gets rushing lane. So if guys come around the corner, right, he gets a lane to escape because he has Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey in front of him. So they're blocking up the defense tackles. He gets a lane to escape. And, like, people talk about, like, oh, Patrick Mahomes, he just makes it for his offensive line. It's not a lot of that. It's that he's getting lanes to escape, too. Like, he's just not escaping at the bottom of the pocket all the time. There's a lane opens up. Jalen Hurts is a perfect example. Like, every single
oh, absolutely.
It's like absolutely. This huge lane opened up for him.
Yes. Yes. If you're going to beat a pass rush from the outside as a quarterback, you got to be gone as soon as the ball snapped.
Yeah.
You can beat it. You got to get out of there immediately. If you, as a quarterback, get to the back of your drop and step up, that's what we're talking about with those passing lanes, because you've got room in front of you to move forward. Those guys have now gone past you. They're behind you, and you've got a way out to the right. You've got to weigh out to the left. You don't have to do anything extreme. It doesn't change your eyes. Your eyes get to stay downfield. You get to read the defense. That interior pressure screws everything up. Not only does it screw everything up, if you try to throw quickly into interior pressure, this is when you start breaking thumbs, fingers, elbows. You're hitting face masks. You're hitting the back of helmets. It causes more. There's just it's the biggest nightmare for a quarterback with interior pressure, plain and simple.
Yeah, it's consistent. I mean, he had a guard pushed into him when he's about to throw a touchdown. I mean,
they get pushed into that elbow, and then the ball starts sailing, and you can't finish the throw. The hand can't come through. It's an absolute nightmare. Bloody elbows. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then your defense wants to let Baker Mayfield look like an absolute stud.
Because they ran the same coverage over and over again. They ran the same coverage over and over again. Just over and over. You run the same coverage over and over.
Well, you can't get at seven. You can't get out of your own way too, though. Like on that sack, it didn't matter that I don't know who that defensive lineman was that knocked the ball. Was it Tillery? That knocked it out of Baker's hands, and that was the penalty, right?
Yeah.
There was going to be a penalty anyway because whoever sacked him, I don't think it was the initial contact. I think it was the second guy that came through. Mm-hmm. Helmet to helmet. There was going to be a penalty on that play regardless.
Oh, yeah, it's stupid. Yeah, man. They had an offsides on the punt. Remember that one? Yeah, they just mm-hmm. They just got in their own way. They're just idiots that game, to be honest. But, you know, none of those guys get blamed. You know, Derek Carr, he was 11 for 20 for 137 with two interceptions. That's all that matters. I mean, it doesn't matter.
The second interception was on, like, the
– We don't care, Chris.
There's 8 seconds left, and he's got to just try and chuck it to try and get another playoff.
You know, we don't care, man. We don't care. I don't know what you want, man. I mean, he's you know, he's got to deal with interior pressure. Who cares? You know, who cares? You got to deal with pressure, man. I mean, everybody has interior pressure. You know, Joe Burrow.
No,
Joe Burrow made the Super Bowl.
But, no,
like did he win it though? Like he looked like he. I think he lost it because Aaron Donald got a sack. So I don't know. Like it's just, but he made it. Like I don't understand. Like do people just want like playoff exit teams? Do people like that? I feel like a playoff exit team that just exits the playoffs. I mean, you tell me, Chris, what's worse? I mean, I know losing's a lot, but
I can tell. I can tell you what's more heartbreaking. Three years of 13 wins, the number one seed, and getting bounced in the NFC Championship game. That sucked pretty bad. I'm not gonna lie.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
It broke me. That loss to Brady, that one broke me. I am not as big of a fan.
Or the Seahawks. That one's
the worst. I've never, like, I like to consider myself a human. Like, I can handle a loss after a game. Like, I'm not that extreme fan where it's going to ruin everything. I was ruined for 2 days after they blew it against Seattle in the NFC Championship game. I was on the phone with friends. I was like, you're coming to Arizona, right? You got a room here. You can stay here. We'll go to the game. It'll be what's happening? What?
Making plans.
That was the worst. That was the absolute worst. That was number one. This one to losing to Brady after he threw three interceptions in the game. That was the second worst. And that one hurt. That one hurt. I think that hurt more than this current season because I have no idea what to expect on Monday night, Marcus. I have no clue. They could win out and still potentially make the playoffs because the Giants look like hell. The Commanders are also looking like hell. Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity to beat the Lions if we win out, which we jump all three of those teams. That puts us in the playoffs, basically. There's a path to the playoffs for the Packers, and that's what still scares me. But this season does not compare to how it felt losing those two NFC Championship games in particular. But Rodgers, I think it was 1-5 in the NFC Championship game. Those five losses have sucked my soul.
That's what I'm saying, because if Derek Carr was 1-5 in AFC Championship games, they would kill him for that. They'd be like, he's 1-5. We never win with him. All right. Anyways, enough of that. Enough of my crappy football team that just, my coach thinks he's a wizard too. You know, he thinks he's a wizard. Just, come on, man. We're the Raiders. We're playing the Rams.
It's basically a home game. They can't sell that. The Rams play 17 away games a year.
Chargers too, man. I don't know why they moved those two.
Chargers too.
They won a damn Super Bowl last year. Nobody cares. All right, here we go. Let's move on, Chris. Let's get past. I don't want to talk about my team anymore.
What are we going to talk about today? What are we going to tell everybody about today, Marcus?
We're going to talk about some college quarterbacks. Get a little, quick early review.
We're going to start opening the door here, huh?
Yeah, not a finished product here. You know what I'm saying? Just the main four guys. A little bit.
Sure.
And then we got, of course, review of last week, and then best bets, like always. So, let's check this out. Let's start off with Tua versus Herbert.
Our favorite game, Marcus. The two guys that, you've been all over Herbert, and I've agreed with you, and I've been all over Tua. And Marcus, do you agree with me now?
I mean, that was an interesting game to watch, man. That was an interesting game to watch for me. Of course, the Herbert love is just disgusting. I mean, it's just gross. At this point, like when he threw a check down to Austin Eckler, and Chris Collins was like, "Oh, whoa!" I was like, "Oh God, man, that was 6 yards, bro." I don't care how positive it looks, you know what I'm saying? That was 6 yards. It was 6 yards. I don't know how else to. it was sick. It was sick. And then if you look at his numbers too, he threw the ball 51 times, right? And he beat the blitz a lot. It was actually like a great quarterback game. Just quarterback play, a little boring stuff. He was beating the blitz. He was hitting the blitzes. Hitting right behind, right to his hot read. You keep blitzing me from the outside. I got a hot read out here. For some reason, Dolphins didn't watch tape where you're supposed to blitz him from the inside. They kept blitzing from the outside. He kept hitting the hot read. And just kept hitting the hot read, and he threw like a nice 15-yard pass. We're like, oh wow! Then he just hit the hot read, and he just hit the hot read, and then he throw a nice. Yeah, it was just typical Justin Herbert game. And I called it. I told you he's gonna have that break. He's gonna be on national TV. He's not gonna have a bad game. Everybody's gonna be like, oh my god, he's so great for the week. And then he'll go back. The game will be buried. I don't know who they play next week. The game's gonna be super buried, and nobody's gonna watch it. And he's not gonna play as well. And then we're going to blame the offensive line again. And he doesn't have an offensive line, and we're going to do that. I mean, they're getting Joey Bosa back, so I don't know. Maybe the Chargers they go on a run. Maybe they do that. We'll see.
Don't they have a lot of work to do, though, if they need to go on a run here?
You got to think about this game, though. They got to think about this game just for the Chargers. Two is 10 for 28, okay? He's 10 for 28. They won by six. You know what I'm saying? Like the Dolphins, if Tua just had a good quarter, if he had just had a good fourth quarter.
I'm going to stop you right there. the ball coming out and Tyreek Hill magically getting it in his hands and then running for 60 yards. Like this was not a 6-point win. Okay. It wasn't. Let's be honest about what that was.
I'm just saying
the numbers say it was.
They didn't put the game away. The game is still close enough, right? They didn't look that impressive. That's basically kind of my point, And I mean, Herbert's gonna shine on national TV, and that's what he did. I think he's like I said. I hate talking about him because he is a good quarterback, and I don't want to get on him that too bad because I really do think he's a good quarterback. I just don't think he's as good as everybody else thinks he is.
Well, so we've defined him for what he is. He's a system guy. If you want him to play a specific way, he's going to play that way for you. What do they want him to do as a Charger? They want him to throw over 50 times a game.
Yeah.
And they want him to check down.
And they want him to check it down and hit that hot read.
So he's doing it.
So he's
doing exactly. He's doing exactly what he's been told to do. I'm curious because for me, it's going to be his next year. And I think it's going to be with Sean Payton.
No, see, I think they get Brandon Staley one more year, and they're going to fire Joe Lombardi. Joe Lombardi is he's the scapegoat here. So Joe Lombardi is going to be the scapegoat.
Right? You don't think that front office goes after Sean Payton?
Maybe in a year or so. Maybe the year after.
I don't think there's a year.
I don't know. See, because they got the Titans this week, right? The Chargers got the Titans. I looked at it. They play the Titans. And they can't stop the run at all. Or do they care to? Okay. They don't care about it. They're like, we're gonna play this quarters coverage, you know, we're gonna do all that stuff and we're gonna stop the pass. But you know, they're just not built to stop the Titans. So it's gonna be an interesting game for that. And the Titans, they always play good defense, even though, you know, they can get beat, but you know, they're not gonna blitz Justin Herbert. They can make Justin Herbert think a little bit. So it's gonna be an interesting game.
Well, they're not set up to stop the pass. They're one of the better run defenses in the NFL, but they are not doing well against the pass.
Yeah, they're not, but I think more of that is playing deep, and I think they'll have a little bit of a game plan. And also, I think the Chargers won't have the ball because Derrick Henry's about to run all over them. It's just a terrible – like, because a lot of this game, too, we'll get to it in a second, is that, you know, Brandon Staley, just like I talked about, he has built his defense to stop the Patrick Mahomes and to stop Josh Allen. So, like, if the Chargers made the playoffs and they went in to play the Bills, they'd probably be a good matchup for them because, you know, Bills don't run the ball, and they could – do other little funky schemes to stop the pass, right? And that's what happened. The Dolphins aren't on the ball that much. They're able to do other funky schemes. He's able to scheme and do all his pass defenses and stop Tua, but wasn't letting them throw him inside the middle trying to force him to throw outside, and then Tua wouldn't do it. So it just got really ugly.
Yeah, Tua can't. He just can't. If you're willing to make that transition from the Herbert conversation to the Tua conversation right now.
Yeah.
Tua will not throw outside the hashes. Like, he doesn't even want to do that. And these are narrow hash marks. He wants to live in crossers to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. That's what he wants to live in. He wants those in-cutting routes because they take time so that he can get to the back of his drop and get the ball out. You want to throw the sideline? You want to throw outside the numbers? He does not have the arm strength to get it out there fast enough, especially with how fast these guys are. He can't get to the back of his drop and the ball out fast enough for the ball to be after they break. He can't anticipate that quickly.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, because that's what the Chargers were doing. They're like, they basically knew their concepts. I guess I saw this breakdown. I guess the Dolphins like run the same concept, but they run like eight different variations.
Did you see the Lewis Riddick? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, no, it was something else I saw too.
I saw Lewis Riddick break it down, and I watched it, and I saw who else was it? Orlovsky and Ryan Clark broke it down.
Yeah,
on that inside leverage, and they were just closing those windows down right away. And I think we got a little cocky as a head coach here, because didn't Fred Warner after the Dolphins played the Niners, Fred Warner basically said, "Oh, we completely bailed on the run. Like, we were willing to give up and be late coming back to the run so that we could be in those windows for the passing game." Mm-hmm. And there's a little arrogance going on with their new head coach saying, "No, we can still do it. We can still do it. We don't need to run the ball. We can still do it." Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see if they turn to the run a little bit more this week.
Yeah, because his ability to do it, I mean, he's not going to be scared to go I form. You know, I don't think Mike McDaniel's going to be scared to do that if he has to. I think, but you know, usually coaches are arrogant. He's like, okay, the Niners do that. Look at this Chargers defense. Look at this. They're not going to be able to do that. And the Chargers actually did it better.
Yeah, they did it better. They did it better.
Yeah,
they totally did it better.
And Tua, yeah, but he's terrible, miserable. Bro. I was like, man, how there's all the hype between this game. People are hyping you up. You had Emmanuel Opshow. Like, you just ruined Emmanuel Opshow, man, because he went out there and it was awful. Just bad.
Yep.
That was bad football. And a lot of it is like, you know, just I'm saying that the offense is so quick passing, right? And they run off these motions and run like the same play and, you know, kind of run all these motions off it. You know, it's to get the ball out of his hands quick. But they force him to read the field. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, he's not doing it very well.
This is what I expected. This is what I've been expecting all season long. It was a matter of time. When you've got the talent that they've got, and now you're just blatantly showing that you're just going to force the ball to these guys. You still got a pretty damn good tight end in Gesicki that you just refuse to throw to. You've got some running backs that know how to catch the ball out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Utilize your weapons, Tua. Or is he being told that the ball needs to go here and get it out of your hands right away? I don't know what it is, but this is the guy that we've seen the last 2 weeks. This is who I have expected to show up. And everything that's happened in the season beforehand was because of the talent that he is around the field. I'm seeing the guy that I was expecting now.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the good thing about Herbert, he's making hot reads cool, man. He's making hitting the hot read cool. Maybe the kids, you're like, Daddy, I'm going to hit a hot read. You know, and they're playing quarterback.
Playing the quarterback position.
Just like Justin Herbert. I'm going to go right to my hot read, sir. Dad.
Look, Dad. Hot, 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 hot.
I'm going hot, just like Justin. He literally threw the ball to Keenan Allen like 2 yards, like 10 times. Everybody's like, oh, my God. Like, yeah.
Dad, playing quarterback. Dad, come out of the slot and throw your hands up and keep going hot, 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 hot. I'll hit you. I promise.
Oh, man.
Look at how fast I can get my drop. Look at how fast I can get it out of my hands. Ooh, I recognize the blitz. Throw at the blitz. Hot, hot, hot.
I don't know. It's just funny. Like, he's just so hyped, man. But he can't be Derek Carr. So, I mean, everybody.
He's not going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if he can beat Derek Carr, he makes the playoffs. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, last year, right? He couldn't beat Derek Carr. I mean,
that's why I laugh at, like, Raiders fans that, like, love him. Like, we watch him. We beat him all the time. Like, it would be different.
It would be different for me if, like, he was just kicking our butt. I mean, he's just coming there. He just 6-0 against us since Justin Herbert joined the team. But they're 3-3. And then when Derek Carr like finishes the game, they're 3-2. So Derek Carr actually has a winning record against him. So like what as a Raiders fan, and just that has nothing to do with anything else, but just as a Raiders fan, it's like, come on, man. Like a Packers fan would never do this. They would never. We beat you all the time. Okay. You're the Bears quarterback. And we beat you all the time. I don't care how cool it looks. You know what I'm saying?
This was their opportunity this year, too. We were playing so bad.
Justin still Fields could, exactly. Gets a
70-yard touchdown run.
Look at your quarterback. Look at he's so scores. Cool. He's still you're still Aaron the Bears. Rodgers the
waves off the field. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. 25-5. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
See, just like 1980, I'm just this old school stuff. 1980, the Chargers are the best team in the league. They got this innovative offense, Air Coryell. Dan Fouts throwing all over the field. He wins MVP, all pro. They got home field advantage. The Raiders go in there with Jim Plunkett and beat them and go in the Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't matter, guys. They're the Chargers. That's all I got to say.
Dude, I know what you mean.
Wild card. Had no business.
Not only did we go in there and beat Chicago in an awful season, we took their most wins in the NFL record, too. Most winning franchise in NFL history, the Green Bay Packers.
See, it's brutal. See, but at least their guy ran for 100 yards, right?
Yeah.
All right, anyways, next game. Let's go to the next game. I always had that thought process. All right, so MVP race, Chris, is down to two guys. We're at a two-man race now.
One of them tried to give it away.
Josh Allen's bowed out gracefully to the one seed, so he's probably going to go to the Super Bowl because he's not going to be the MVP. He's like, you know, you guys had that. I'm just going to ride this defense to the playoffs, and I'm just going to, you know, and then I'll ball out there when I get out. You know how I look in the playoffs, so.
I don't know. The Josh Allen that's playing right now might not even be good for what happens in the playoffs because that secondary in Buffalo is in bad shape.
I know. I understand that. But that's the thing. Like, Josh, it's like his tape last year just looked like he did this year. His tape literally is the same, right? He's good, but his playoff tape is out of this world. So maybe we might have a playoff Josh here. We don't know.
Wow.
Maybe
that's the thing. It's been a bad second half of the season.
Because that's what I'm saying. It's a bad second half of the season. even like I see, you know, I got some Bills analysts I'm cool with. I see them talking about how he's struggling too. They're still 10-3. So
yeah.
So he has he they're giving him time to go through a little struggle and get hot. That's the problem. I even saw like they got a Bills cycle. It's like Josh Allen mid-season regression. I got like, some guy got fired for like a woman's comment. Like Jerry Sullivan says something stupid. They're one of their
yes.
You saw that? It was a cycle. It's like Bills start off hot. Josh Allen mid-season regression. Jerry Sullivan says something stupid. Then Bills take off and win the division. So we're probably about to see like the most awesome Josh Allen from here on out.
And, well, I mean, they got the Dolphins coming in. Tua's got three tough games in a row, and I don't think he pulls it out. Well, we'll get there later.
So Jalen Hurts versus Mahomes. Jalen Hurts put on a show. He went out and beat down the Giants 48-22. You know, he put on a show out there. You know, let's check out these stats. But, you know, Daniel Jones, he's keeping my 19.
Your guy.
He's not my guy. He's just 19.
He's your guy.
I think he solidified the 19th spot. I think that's I think he's proven that prediction for me that he's 19. I think it's a good spot for him. Like, can you win some games with him? Maybe you can maybe sneak into the playoffs. But when you need him to, like, you know,
when you need him, all you're gonna do is get a tie at home against the Commanders. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, when exactly.
When you need Daniel Jones, he'll get you that tie. He won't lose the game for you. He'll just tie that game for you.
So, I think Jalen Hurts, how many rushing touchdowns did he have? He had one, but he had 77 yards rushing. I mean, they're running the ball over everybody. Miles Sanders had eight yards.
Isn't he the first? He's the first quarterback since like 1900s to put back-to-back 10 rushing touchdown seasons together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the thing is, his completion percentage is up higher. I know Dan Orlovsky kind of triggered him a little bit by saying that he's throwing the ball better than ever. Now you pissed off Jalen even more. Jalen was mad when he saw that because it's looking at his face. So now he's probably about to play even better. So I think he's like a secret motivation guy. I can tell. Like he might even listen to our show, Chris. He might even listen to our rankings and using that for motivation because he looked super mad when somebody told him about the Dan Orlovsky thing. But he's playing better. I always talk about he's accurate. That's one thing I said. And I've been saying, even when I've been watching the tape and he's been struggling to kind of read the field, he was accurate. He was. It's just, you know, doesn't have the velocity all the time. But he was accurate. And you're starting to see that now that he's playing better in the system and he's starting to anticipate a little bit better. You can see his accuracy is really shining. And that's what I think is a big thing with him. I don't know. You know, Michael Parsons pissed him off too. So that's what I'm saying. We got these people just doubting him. He's probably put that stuff on the wall. Like, this guy has high intangibles. So we just got to stop giving
him high intangibles is right. He's got the high intangibles. I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah, but we just keep, and I know what Michael Parsons probably said is true. But I don't know if you just want to piss this guy off at this point. That's just what I'm thinking, just watching him play and his mannerisms. He doesn't smile. All his other guys are laughing around. He's not smiling. You know what I mean? He's obviously like a hardcore leader. So
he's got that part down. I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. He could not be in a better system. He could not have better talent around him. He's in the perfect situation.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's perfect around him. It's perfect around him. But I still think that the leadership is probably has a lot to do with the two and why he's successful. You know, the guys like playing for him, and this is all big things with quarterbacks. You know, all the secret stuff that we don't know about. But, you know, 21-31, you know, two touchdowns. He's clean. He's not throwing a lot of picks, though. You know, he's protecting the football.
He is not turning the ball over. Yeah,
he's got a great defense. Go ahead.
Here's why he's not the MVP.
Okay.
You put his backup in, they do the same thing.
Oh, I don't believe that. See, I don't know about that. I don't believe it.
Gardner Minshew can do what Jalen Hurts is doing.
They might be, let's say, they would probably maybe. I don't know.
What game does Gardner lose that Jalen has won? That's why he's not my MVP.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do
that. That's why he's not my MVP. I'm doing it. I'm sticking with how I felt about Jalen Hurts ever since the beginning, ever since you graded him. And in the offseason, he's the same guy for me. he is having a hell of a year in the environment that he's been placed in. He's in the right spot. You can do great things in the NFL if you're in the right situation. But if they lose one of those wide receivers to injury, if one of their tackles goes down, if Miles Sanders goes down, it's a different offense, and it doesn't work the same way. I don't think he can do it if he loses a major player on that offensive side of the ball. They're the most healthy team in the NFL, and they're only going to get healthier on the defensive side. They don't even have Jordan Davis in there right now.
You know, I just don't want to do that. I just can't say that for sure. I mean, I know Gardner Minshew.
I'm doing it.
I can't.
I'm doing it.
I know. Like, because, like I said, he played well in the system last year. I just went and looked it up. The one game he played, but
They won that game against the Saints, and the Saints were looking good, weren't they? Was it the Saints?
It was the Jets.
It was the Jets.
Yeah, they played the Jets. It wasn't the Saints.
They were the dog in that game, and I remember betting it. I bet on Minshew to win that one.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, he's 25 for 20, 242, two touchdowns, 9.7 YPA.
Dude, I'm telling you, Jalen Hurts is not the MVP because he's not the most valuable player on that football team. He's not. He's doing fantastic things. He's doing great things for what he needs to be doing. He's checking the box. He's doing what he needs to. He's not causing any problems. He's not turning the ball over. He's a dynamic runner. He always has been. But the most valuable player is Patrick Mahomes. The Kansas City Chiefs are garbage without Patrick Mahomes.
I agree with that, actually. They probably are. But, Gardner didn't play. He didn't play that well against the Cowboys week 18. So I'm just saying, I don't know about that. I don't know. I can't say that for sure. He's under pressure a lot that game. 22 dropbacks under pressure. They probably were definitely playing the backups because their offensive line ain't giving up 22 points. Because the other game he played, he was seven. It was seven pressures. So I don't want to do it. I'll take your point. You have a point, but I'm just not gonna go there because I think Hurts is still a good leader, so I think that's
yeah, he's definitely a good leader. But you know who else is a good leader? Minshew's done it with two different teams now. They followed him in Jacksonville. They did everything they could to win for Minshew in Jacksonville. He already came in and he put it together in Philly. He's done it.
You have a point, though. There's a point to it that would Gardner Minshew do the same thing? I don't know.
People like Minshew. They would still be in first place in the division with Gardner Minshew.
I would agree with that. But I think there's some other games that Hurts. Like, they don't beat the Colts with Minshew. I'll say that. Like, they don't beat the Colts with Minshew. They don't come back in that game. I don't know. I mean, the Eagles have been killing everybody, so I don't know which game he would have made a difference. They kill everybody. I don't know. Like the Vikings game, they would have won 17-7. It would have been 38-22.
Don't get me started on those frauds in Minnesota.
Would it be 38-22 if Minshew was starting, you know? Maybe the running game wouldn't be as good because it doesn't bring that Zone Read aspect that might play into it. You know, I don't know, Chris.
Maybe. I mean, the Packers wouldn't have given up another 150 yards running and 150 yards passing. That's
yeah, exactly.
At least, I would hope. I would hope. One
they
game,
might lose the Packers game.
One game, see? Marcus. Two games.
Yes,
they should have lost. They should have lost the Packers game. Should have.
See, it might have become a loss if Jalen Hurts wasn't there rushing for a bunch of yards. See, I don't know, man. I don't know.
That's not good quarterback play, Marcus. That's good running back.
So they'd be 9-4. They'd probably be 9-4 with Gardner Minshew, right? They wouldn't see. They'd be in second place. They'd be a playoff team. But I don't know, man. I a couple of those games. think Jalen Hurts makes a little bit of a difference. But back to my point, they kill everybody. So I don't know. I don't know what game. Like, what? It'll go up 21-0 on the Giants. I feel like they still might. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But I still think.
Patrick finally threw some interceptions, though. He's trying to give that MVP to Jalen Hurts.
Hurts, the MVP in every sport, it's dumb, but it goes to the best player on the best team. And that's what they do every year.
He's not even the best player on that team, though.
Well, the best smart server. Sorry, my bad. The quarterback on the best team.
Okay, there you go. I'll live with that one.
It worked because, you know, technically Carson Palmer should have won the MVP when Cam Newton won the MVP. I mean, Carson Palmer should have won the MVP. But Cam Newton was the best quarterback on the best team. So he wins MVP. The team went 15-1. Your team went 13-3. That's cool. But 45 total touchdowns. So. Same with Hurts. Hurts has 32 touchdowns to total. 21 passing, 11 rushing. Or the opposite, 22-10. But yeah, he's 32 touchdowns. I feel like he's kind of walking away with it.
Well, I hope Mahomes can get it together because he should be that MVP, man.
So the only way he'll lose this, sorry, Chris, to interrupt you, but only way he'll lose this, if he loses the Cowboys, he ain't getting MVP.
That's true. They got to go to Dallas, right?
Yeah.
They're playing the Bears this week. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah, yeah. And then they got Dallas, right? And then they got Dallas after that?
They got to finish with the division, right?
Mm-hmm. Washington?
That's at home, though. Right?
Okay. Yeah.
Is it?
I'm not looking, but let me just look. Let's look here. So week 15, they got. I'm in 2021. So week 15, they got the Bears, right? Right. Week 16, they got the Cowboys. There's a Cowboys game. So Christmas Eve.
Woo.
Christmas Eve game. Damn, we got a lot of games on Christmas Eve. Oh, is everybody playing football on Christmas Eve?
That's a Saturday. Yeah, they start playing Saturday games this week. We've got three games on Saturday.
Oh, so there's three games on Sunday. There's three games on Christmas the following week. The Packers play Dolphins. Uh-oh. Yep. Are you guys going to ruin the Dolphins season? Uh-oh.
I hope so. I'm pulling for it.
All right, so Dallas plays. So, yeah, they got to go to Dallas. And if he loses to Dallas, he's not winning the MVP. I mean, just the way the media is, you can't lose to Dallas. So that's his MVP game. If he beats Dallas, he wins MVP. If he loses to Dallas and Mahomes goes off, or if Joe Burrow, who's a sneaky guy.
He is very sneaky right now.
We all love Joe.
He's very sneaky right now. They get the Ravens one more time, and that's at home.
And he gets Tom Brady this week. Let him go in there, throw four touchdowns against Tom Brady. He went out there. He outdueled the legend. And then, you know, Joe Burrow is just like, he's just MVP. He's just waiting to let those two falter. Let them. He will.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Award. He could steal the award. He could steal the division. There's some. Joe's in a good spot this year. I like him a lot better this year than I did last year. That's for sure.
That's what I'm saying. So if he could steal MVP, man. Don't get it twisted, because let Hurts lose to Dallas. Just let it happen. If that happens, man, he's not winning MVP. Then you're going to be like, oh, you lost to the Cowboys. You're out of here. So, and then if Mahomes falters at all, it's going to be Joe Burrow time. Because people might not even give it to Mahomes over Burrow just because Burrow beat him.
Oh, good point.
And we're talking about sports writers voting. We're not talking about like humans voting. Okay. We're talking about sports writers. They like stories. They're like, oh, well, Joe Burrow, he beat him. And then he led his team to the playoffs after an 0-2 start to a division champion. He's second in the league in touchdowns. It's a rate. You know what I'm saying? It's just, he's your thief. That's your little secret MVP guy. There's four games left. You know,
the final quarter. December and January football, this is where it matters.
And I do want to say these are the three top guys in adjusted net yards per attempt, by the way.
Oh, it got there. It's those three.
It's just three. It is. It really is. But like, okay. Jimmy G, probably, I think Jimmy G's like four or something because he's just Jimmy G. With his... Yeah, but yeah, it's those four. It's those three. And that's why I'm saying Joe Burrow, man, let those two mess up and let him throw four touchdowns this week against Tom Brady because that's always going to start. He beat the legend. That's how it starts, man. The legend, you took him down. And then he took down Mahomes and he outdueled Brady. The story builds, you know, and then he wins the division.
Oof. Oof. That would be something. That would be something.
And honestly, I think it wouldn't be that bad if he got it, if he won it. I mean.
No, I wouldn't be mad at that. I would be upset if Hurts wins this. I'll be upset.
Because the thing with Hurts is, like, does he beat the Cowboys? But, like, Michael Parsons kind of just gave them a game. He made that, like, a rivalry game. Like, that's going to be a big game for everybody.
Big time.
I don't know how smart that was. He was like, you know what?
I like it.
Yeah.
You know who probably doesn't like it?
Who?
Dak. He does not need more eyes on him.
Oh, Dak's in trouble.
He's like, bro, I'm trying to make this extra $40 million a year under the table right now, bro. Like, don't call me out like that.
Yeah, so let's keep this moving, Chris. Let's get to these college quarterbacks. Oh, my bad. We forgot a couple guys. We've been going pretty long, right? 40 minutes. Let's touch on Jared Goff real quick. Jared Goff's playing pretty well. You know,
Marcus, this is a conversation that you and I have been touching on throughout the season.
Pat myself on the back for that one. I was
gonna... About Mr. Jared Goff. And the Lions are trying to prove me right with my second in the division playoff bound team. My big prediction from the beginning of the season, they're trying to prove me right, but they're doing it at my expense. Of the Green Bay Packers. If they make the playoffs, that means the Packers don't. That means they beat the Packers. That means they knock the Packers out of mathematical they could knock themselves out of it before they even play the Lions. But the Lions in the playoffs cost me a Packer playoff position.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Lions won 5-6. They started off 1-6, didn't they? Wow.
1-5, 1-6. Yeah.
Yeah, they started 1-6, man. And they're 6-7. They actually started to play defense like an NFL team. So
didn't they fire their coordinator? They fired somebody on the defensive side of the ball.
Not the coordinator. Maybe the DB coach. Not the coordinator.
It might have been the DB coach.
They just adjusted. They're playing better defense. I think they're playing different players, which is they got a young guy, Kirby Joseph, is like he's nuts, number 31. But yeah, they're
figuring it out.
They're a good team, but I still think they're the Lions.
Jameson Williams' first catch is a touchdown.
They're gonna lose the Bears.
Don't know. I don't.
They got to go to Chicago, right? They got to go to Chicago. Okay.
No, they're not. They're not playing Chicago this week. The Eagles are.
No.
They got to go to New York. They're playing the Jets.
You are not checking my prediction because they got the Bears week 17.
Oh, you're talking week 17.
They're going to lose that game.
You think they lose that game?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You're
going to lose it.
This is going to be
It's going to be the story. They're going to be 8-7. Chris, because they're 6-7. Hear me out.
Is the game. This is the game that's their test. You think they're going to beat the Jets in New York this week?
They're going to beat the Jets in New York. We're going to hop on the bandwagon. And then they play, week 16. They play... week 16, they play the Panthers. So we're gonna have an 8-7 Lions team in control of their destiny, playing the 3-12 Bears.
No, they got the Packers first.
No, the Packers lot. No, the Packers is the last game of season. I'm looking at
it. I see what I thought the Packers were before the Bears. I got week 17 in my head, like it's the old seasons.
Yeah. So they got the Bears. Okay.
You think they blow it at the Bears and don't even get to play the Packers for a meaningful game?
Jared Goff played terrible.
Uh-huh. It's going to suck to be in Chicago that time of year. That's for sure.
No, it's not in Chicago. It's at home. That's why it's going to be worse.
Oh, no.
Marcus. They're at home. Because the Lions are, like, really, really good at home, too. So, like, they put up stats at home. So
yes.
Stats they put up at home. This is going to be easy win. They're going to go to the playoffs. Look at this. Just look at the story. 1-6. Dan Campbell. It just be the Lions just lay a dud against a division team.
Oh, man.
And then Justin Fields just run all over them. Just 150 yards.
Oh, my gosh.
His breakout game. Everybody talk about Justin Fields going in the next year. Yeah. I've seen this before, man. The Lions and the Raiders. I've seen this before. Trust me. It's too – as a Lions fan, they got to be thinking this is too good to be true. They have to get to, they're going to get to 8-7. You're going to buy into it because you probably right now you're like, no way. They're probably going to lose the Jets. There's no way they're going to do this. Then they're going to beat the Jets and they're going to beat – then they're going to beat the Panthers, and you're going to be hype. You're going to be talking crap. You're finally going to probably start talking crap to Packers fans and Bears fans. You're going to start getting loud at work, at the office. You're going to start talking a little bit. Might even wear your Lions jersey to work. And, yeah. That's my prediction.
Okay. All right.
All right. Uh-huh. All right. Trevor Lawrence. We talked about Trevor Lawrence too, a little bit, too. Trevor Lawrence playing.
Dude, well. He is. He is shining, sir. He is shining. I really enjoyed watching him take it to the Ravens.
Yeah.
That he's got a cannon. He was quick with his decision making. He was making the right decisions. He was incredibly accurate. I was very impressed in that. And then to see what he did this last week against Tennessee, a division game. It's more about it being a division game than it is about the Titans. And weren't they in Tennessee? Or was that at home?
They were in Tennessee, yeah.
Yeah. So a big win against the division leader on the road. I think we're finally starting to see the beginnings of the kid that we hyped up pretty big time coming out.
Yeah, you know, I like Trevor Lawrence a lot. I mean, I liked his tape last year. I thought he looked like he was going to be good. And, I mean, he still looks that way this year. And I think he's figured it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a press conference talk about how he kind of, after they started 2-7, he was like, man, he told the team he's going to stop hurting him. He was like, he felt like he's hurting the team. It was really on him. So some leadership right there. And then he stopped turning the ball over, and they started winning games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Just don't do the check down, Trevor.
Well, he's not even doing that right now. He's not Etienne is not seeing football.
Yeah, but I think he's a good quarterback. He's got a good quarterback coach, coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get him some better receivers. You know,
Zay agreed.
Jones, but, you know, Zay Jones, he just has a bunch of number twos. Let's get him a dog. There really is no dogs in his draft, so I don't know. Maybe I don't know what their plan is. But, yeah.
Good. Yeah, keep underestimating those receivers. I'm telling you, the best player in the draft is the kid out of TCU, Johnston.
Can he separate though? Can he separate, or is he? Is he? You know.
I think he's a jump ball king.
See,
I think he's a jump ball king.
I like Jordan Addison from USC. That's the kind of guy I like. But, anyways, this isn't wide receiver PA. So
no, it's not. No. This is who I want to see. I want to see this kid in the green and gold, man. I want to see him as a Packer. Johnston, Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs. Those are my three receivers of the future.
You just speed everywhere. Speed in the big guy.
Yes.
Small speed, big speed. All right. Let's get to these college quarterbacks. We don't get that much time. I'm going to roll through them real quick. I know I tried to get a couple breakdown, but you know, we like pro football here. Still, we're still in pro football mode. Here.
We're still pro football mode. This is just a sneak little peek.
Sneak little peek. So, you know, the big four guys. I got my little initial watch on all of them. I watched Stroud like a couple months ago though, but and Young. But you know, I want to start off with Will Levis. Will Levis is interesting to me because he's getting a lot of top five talk, Chris mm-hmm. here, and mm-hmm. You know, talk about
he's skipping the bowl game.
He's getting he's a lot of top five talk. He thought about his big arm, man, and his throws. But you know, to me, he just doesn't have it. He just doesn't have he doesn't have pocket presence. You know, I just feel like
this a little pocket awareness. Is that what you're talking about, Marcus?
He has zero. It's not even a little at this point, man. He got killed.
No ALPA.
He got killed. And I thought about Tom Brady's little rant about quarterbacks not seeing their hot reads and not knowing it and then getting hit and then getting killed and then it being a penalty on the defense because the quarterback doesn't know what to do. It's exactly what I thought when I was watching this clip. Because he had a hot read. It's a blitz. His hot read is going this way. You know, it's a little reverse motion. The hot read is coming to his right. There's a blitz coming off. So he has a free rusher because, you know, the bigger the blitz, sometimes you might get a free rusher. That's on the quarterback.
Sure.
Give him the ball. You know, he just sits there and stares to the left. He's just trying to read it. Doesn't go.
Crushed.
Helmet off. Flag. Guy gets targeting. I think they picked up the flag. Thank God. But, Russ probably got to. I mean, that was really on him. I mean, if he hit the hot read, does he get killed? I mean, let's pick up the flag.
And like this one play, that's really on him.
I mean, and there's one play against Georgia where he's just holding the ball and like he has. So Georgia's playing cover two man, and he has four verts. Okay, the four verts is open. You have a wide open check down. And then, like, takes like 15 minutes to get there. And the thing is, he's running a pro offense. So that's the big thing with him. I'm watching him run pro reads. Okay, so I'm watching him
pro play. Reads against the closest thing that he's going to get to NFL pro secondary against Georgia. And he's got pro reads. So this is it. That's the best. That's the best film that he can put on tape.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm like getting a vision, kind of like if he was playing minor league football in the NFL, kind of like what it is, to be honest. You know, so he's not getting to that read the check down where he should go to, but he like gets there, but it's like really slow, and then he doesn't get there because he sees pressure, he starts panicking, and then takes a sack. I'm like, oh man, that's you're like 23 too. You're a senior.
It shouldn't be like that.
It was a little bit of a rough watch to me. That's why I was like, oh man, he's gonna go top five, really? Like I didn't even really see the arm strength. I saw something him throwing like flat footed 50 yards today. Like I don't see it on tape though. Like I don't see like the Everest. Like
he's gonna be a pro day hero, rolling to his left, throwing to his right, 70 yards.
He's athletic. Like he's but come on, man, like. He's gonna get somebody fired. That's what I feel like. That's a fireable guy. He's getting somebody fired. I don't know who. I don't know who's gonna decide it because I guess he has like a lot of he's a tie intangible guy. So maybe he gets better from his intangibles. But I think pocket presence is like we talked about this with Zach Wilson. This is my big thing with Zach Wilson. Chris was pocket presence. It just doesn't like magically become like you just don't become Tom Brady. It's like a feel. Tom Brady already had that feel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, and I talk about Derek Carr. Like, Derek Carr didn't have that good pocket presence coming out. Now it's solid. And he's worked on it hard, right? It's now just solid. So it's going to be really bad at times.
Yeah. What year is he in? What year is
9.
He in? Yeah. Yeah.
So if you had bad pocket presence coming into the league, the best you can get is Derek Carr with pocket presence. And that's kind of how I look at pocket presence. It's kind of just so.
You better have it.
And he's a little bit of a pocket passer. He's not like a scrambler. He's a pocket guy without pocket presence.
Oh boy.
Big guy though. Big and talented. I don't know, man. All right. Anthony Richardson is my intriguing guy. Because Anthony Richardson is
this also opted out of the bowl game.
Yeah, which I think him coming out is nuts because you know redshirt sophomores, they just shouldn't do it, man. He only has like 13 starts. Like, what are you doing? Who's advising you? First of all, probably parents or something stupid. But you know, I liked that he was a pocket passer. I didn't know that. I didn't know that he was more of like a pocket guy. That kind of surprised me a little bit. It was the way his buzz is around him. He's like a willing pocket guy. But like when he takes off, it's just like it's ridiculous, right? So mm-hmm. he got a little, but he's like a little bit of like a Lamar Jackson there. He's 6'4", 232. So it's just a little bit different of a monster. and he has a cannon, right? He's just spraying the ball over the field at this point, right? He'll spray the ball over the field for like five throws. And then one throw, you're like, oh my God. That's basically what Anthony Richardson tape is. So it's going to be a weird evaluation with him. But my favorite thing about him is that he read this cover two look against Georgia. We're talking about Will Levis, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about Will Levis struggling against the same look. And Anthony Richardson had
cover two man?
No, this was cover two.
Straight cover two. Tampa cover two?
No, it was a little funky. It's, you know, it's cover two, but the linebackers the safeties will drive on stuff, you know. But I think the safety just got a little greedy. It wasn't trusting Richardson's ability to read the field. So I'm describing this, Chris. So it's cover two. He's got a go route, and then he's got an out route. Okay. Now, the out route is where he looks first. The guy he sees the safety. Okay, this is cover two, right? So there's a corner. The safety is driving on the out route because he thinks Anthony Richardson sees it. Anthony Richardson sees his leverage start to drive. He goes to the go route and throws a dime over their heads. I was like, how old are you? And that's why I was like, you know what?
There's a glimmer. There's a glimmer.
That's you naturally seeing leverage with corners and throwing it over the top of his head. That's like, okay. I was like, all right, okay, all right, man. I just saw you. I'm like, man, this guy's, what is this? Why did he come out? And then he did that. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, man.
Okay.
He kind of got me, Chris. He got me because I was like, man, that's a great read, man. And it went for a 70-yard touchdown. That's, oh, wow.
You got Justin Herbert.
I did. He got me. Because he had one other great throw in that game, too. But then he had, one of the red zone guy wide open. He just throws it into the stands. But I like his willingness to work in the pocket. Like, he slides. He's not going to run first. He's going to wait for everything. He's got some pocket movement, too. He's got great pocket feel, too. That's what I was talking about. Him, he can avoid guys, but he's not gonna avoid to run. Like one time, he broke a tackle and he got out and threw it away. See,
okay,
you got me, Chris. You got me a little bit. So I haven't got too deep into him, but
something to just put a bookmark in. We're gonna take a look. We're gonna reevaluate.
He's gonna get all the Josh Allen comparison. He's gonna, because Josh Allen, people are mad. They're still mad that Josh Allen went top 10. People are still mad about that, even though he should have, right? He probably should have went one. Let's keep it real. Or hit like him and Jackson 1 and 2. It should have been that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Richardson's gonna get that, man, but man, that read got me because it was just so bad the rest of the game.
Oh, no.
And this is against Georgia, too, man. I mean, it was it wasn't against no slouches. It wasn't against slouches. All right, so they get the big two guys because these are two instilled guys. You know, Tom McShay has Bryce Young, number one. And then CJ, I think he might have Will Levis too. I don't know, that's ridiculous, but whatever. And then, you know, the guy that we all hate, CJ Stroud, because he's a pocket passer. We all hate CJ Stroud because he plays for the pocket.
Dude, I saw they did McShay's first mock draft, and that was you just don't see the dynamic explosion like you see out of Bryce Young. And that's why he's here lower on the board. And I just was laughing because this is the third time that you and I have talked about that. How he just because he doesn't leave the pocket like everybody else, they're just killing him.
They are. And somebody compared him to Jared Goff today. I was like, and then like three people agreed. And I was like, wait a second. What is happening here? Like the dude, he can move pretty well. Okay. And I think I think a lot of it is because he doesn't handle, like, his pressure numbers aren't very good. Because I think with him is that he only has like a 20% pressure rate. So that means he's not under pressure at all year. So he's just sitting there making sandwiches. And that one time somebody comes, it might just catch him off guard, I think. And maybe you put him in the league and he has to learn how to deal with pressure because he's never dealt with it in his life. That might be enough.
Sure.
To get that.
Sure.
Right. And then when he gets it, he's not playing well. But I think that's kind of a thing too, because like if you're not facing pressure at all, man, you're just making sandwiches. And then the one time your guy gets beat, you're like, oh crap, you know, it might catch mm-hmm. off guard, mm-hmm. you know. But I think his tape is really good. I think he's definitely has some. He has top five tape in my opinion. I think he's accurate as all hell, and that's a big thing for me. And you know, he anticipates. He has a cannon, and you know, we just don't like that he's a pocket passer. That's his big knock. His knock is that he's a pocket passer. I don't understand. There's no other knock really on him. Mm-hmm. And if it was just 2016, this wouldn't even be close. We wouldn't even be talking about anybody else, to me, in my opinion. If it was 2016, before Patrick Mahomes, just after mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes quarterback evaluation, and then there's after 2018 and before 2018 the quarterback evaluation, because now 2018 for some reason we added scrambling to like a trait
for a requirement, yeah,
of a requirement. Yeah. I don't know. He can't scramble though, you know, like. Bro, like I don't understand. It just one guy can't change everything.
He just stands there, man. It's like his comp is like Tom Brady or something.
Yeah, it's just what is he doing? Like, why is he going through his reads? What is he doing?
Well, what does he think he's gonna do? Win 7 Super Bowls?
And my thing is like we all love Justin Herbert. We all love Justin Herbert. Like, I don't understand. Justin Herbert don't run. I mean, what he does is like it's like a 6-yard run. Justin Herbert's not running for 100 yards. Like, what are we doing? But we all love but with Justin Herbert, it's a hot read. Not CJ Stroud, though. CJ Stroud can't throw a hot read. Justin Herbert can, though. I don't understand it. Okay. I just don't get that knock. Like, if you want to knock him for something else, maybe that he might process things a little slowly because the Ohio State offense makes him. And that's going to be the adjustment. But same thing Justin Fields had. Like, since Ohio State's offense is a slow read offense, you got these reads, and he has 30 minutes to throw the ball. And just wait for some guy to run 5 routes and throw it. Yes, I understand that Justin Fields had the same problem, because Justin Fields was making sandwiches too. And then he got mm-hmm. in the league, and his line was terrible. And he has to fix his windup because he can't wind up anymore because he doesn't have, you know, Thayer Mumford and some other 8 tackles that got drafted. And you know, uh-huh. this guy has the best tackle in football, who actually played guard last year. They moved to tackle and still a top 10 tackle. So who knows how good he is at guard too. CJ Stroud is I get it. And he has Marvin Harrison Jr. And then he played with Garrett Wilson. And he played with, you know, I 100% get all the knocks around him. But look at Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts plays with his team in college in the NFL. So,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right? Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why every time somebody tells me you need the best quarterback, you need the best O line, you need the best wide receivers, you need the best running back and best defense to win, I'm like, yeah. So the Eagles,
dude, they've got a roster. They have got a roster.
Roster. Then they decided Sue and Linval Joseph just off the street. Like, you know what?
Those guys are like, you know what? Maybe this is a good idea. We'll take league minimum.
And all those guys are like, what? Super Bowl team? League minimum.
Did you see what Sue said? Do you know why he joined?
What?
He wants to get a second Super Bowl ring so his twins can both have one ring each. He doesn't want them fighting over his one Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. That's too long.
That's that reason.
Odell Beckham should have signed with the Eagles. He's probably like, I want to sign with the Eagles now. They're 12-1. I'm trying to get to the Super Bowl. All right. So Bryce Young is the last guy. So Bryce Young, I think with him is just size. Mm-hmm. You know, I think he has his arm's a little weaker too than is a little thing. So I don't know what's gonna happen with him. His evaluation process. Mm-hmm. His evaluation process could be super interesting. He's undersized. He's not the 220 like Russell Wilson. He's 185, soaking wet.
And they had a bad and they had one of the worst Alabama years ever.
Yeah. And you know, some of that is, you know, him playing with, we don't know who this year, who are these Alabama receivers. We have no idea who they are. this year. I think that's a big factor a little bit too with that. But, you know, the team around him wasn't as good. I mean, the players, even on the defense of Alabama, just wasn't a awesome Alabama team he played with, because I think the best win they had was Texas. So this wasn't a good Alabama team he was on. I think that's why you saw a little bit of regression from him, but you still saw some great moments. I can't forget his drive against Auburn the year before, when they had no timeouts. They're at the 2-yard line. I mean, he's just clutch as hell. He's a gamer, you know. He's just a gamer type of player. He's going there, and you know, he probably helped a football team early, but he's gonna have his limitations. He ain't gonna be able to see. We already know that he's short. He can't see. The middle fields could be kind of eliminated. You're gonna have to build around that. He's going to be short, but you just got to hope that he's a leader. You know, the Texans might take him because he runs the Texans offense already in college. Bill O'Brien is his coach. He's going to come in ready to go. I mean, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong.
And that's a hard offense.
They got a good running back already there.
He can come in there day one and know every single call.
That's interesting, Marcus. That is very, very, very interesting.
Single call. He's plug and play. That's why I said if the Raiders would draft a quarterback, I want him, because he's plug and play. He knows the offense. He's been running for 2 years. He knows it better than Davis Mills, probably.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He runs it really well, too. Like, even when I was learning the Raiders offense, I went and watched Alabama. He runs it. Like, he runs it well. He's plug and play. He's plug and play for that offense. He literally is. So, but it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Because I just tell you, Anthony Richardson, man, if he has any intangibles, they're going to be like, I mean,
stop it.
Josh Allen, man. I'm telling you, any intangibles, Chris, no. I'm telling you.
No, it's too early for that. Don't do that to me.
The coaches, it's going to be like, if a coach loves somebody, they're going to be like, well.
No, I'm not. No. All right. That's it. Chris, I don't want to talk about it. Right, I don't want to talk about the college kids anymore.
If he has any intangibles, I mean, if he goes in there, he's on that board, Anthony Richardson on that board, and I'm telling you, he breaks down that player or something, because that's what I would have him do. I'm going to have him break that. Tell me what you saw. And he went under, did this, and I'm like, all right, anyways, I'm taking him at one. So.
Oh, my God. We're at an hour. We have to be. You're at an hour. You're done. No more talking. No more talking. Why is this happening so much now, Marcus? You're killing me.
I'm just telling you right now, Chris, because Raiders fans keep asking me, like, we could draft Anthony Richardson. I'm like, I'm not convinced he's not going one. So I'm not convinced yet. After I seen that read, I was like, you know what?
Oh,
Bryce Young's in trouble. Because
no, let this stop dude it.
Get on the board. Let stop him get it on the board and start drawing. And
stop it.
You know, Texas offensive coordinator comes in. All right, I'm going to give you a play early on in the interview. And they start talking, whatever. And he's like, all right, can you remember the play, Dre? He just goes up there. And this is how I attack it. Chris, it's over, man.
Well, it's over for two. They're going into Buffalo. They're losing that game. Take the Bills. Take the over. Actually, I don't know. The weather might be bad.
Yeah.
Just take the Bills. Just take the Bills.
Yeah. Let's get to this game. I'm sorry, guys. I just have to.
Oh, Marcus, that hurt. That really hurt. I'm taking the Jets. This is the game. Actually, it's a pick'em, basically, isn't it? Jets and Lions.
I'm still taking I'm gonna take the Dolphins +7 though.
No. The Dolphins are gonna be popsicles out there. They're not gonna be able to run around and do what they want to do. Give me the Bills. The Bills all can't day.
Play.
Bills cover.
Man, the Bills can't play offense right now. I'm not.
Well, the Dolphins can't play defense.
Well, they stopped the Bills last time though.
That was at home.
All right, Chris. All right, man. It might be windy. I heard it's gonna be snowing. So I'm just saying, I like that +7.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It might be windy. It might be snowing. Tua, no. I'm sorry. He's in trouble. He can't throw through the wind.
He went and practiced with his brother in Maryland early in the offseason for this type of game. So
yeah, whatever. Whatever. We'll it's not happening. Give me. So we differ there. I'm taking Seattle +3.5 at home against the Niners.
Oh, really? Yeah, exactly. If the Brock Purdy show has to end at some time,
they're getting Walker's full strength. They're going to be able to they're going to be able to run. They're going to be able to run.
Geno's playing well, man. I know he didn't play well against the Panthers last week, but you know he's losing the running game a lot lately, and they put a lot on his shoulders. And you know he can be a turnover machine. That's kind of the secret. He's just so aggressive, like he's just so confident in himself.
Yes, he is.
And you play and you go against the Panthers and, you know, they start picking stuff off. J.C. Horn starts beating you. You know, it's just, he's just so aggressive. So
it's not week two. It's not week two anymore.
We'll see.
Seattle's at home.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, the Brock Purdy show has to end at some point, right? It's just too good to be true. It has to end at some point, right?
That's all I got to say. I mean, he's on the injury report. He might not even play.
Damn, they got him injured. What is Kyle Shanahan do over there? He's in like a sweatshop. Everybody gets injured. What's going on? All right, Chris, my upset of the week. I'm taking the Colts +4.
You're taking the Colts.
I'm taking the Colts +4. I think Gus Bradley has a good game plan. They can shut down the run. I think Stephon Gilmore is having a really good season.
You're taking the Colts. See, the Vikings at home is tough to bet against.
But that's the thing. They're 10-3.
And they just got embarrassed.
We already know they're frauds.
They just got embarrassed. They're being called frauds big time. I think it's a bounce back game. I don't think the Colts are going to do enough. But here, I'll tell you this. I'll do Vikings money line. I'm not taking -4.
You're not taking -4. You're doing money line.
Not taking -4. I think this ends up being similar to how they played the Eagles, and the Eagles came down to having to figure it out in the fourth quarter. Now, Jalen Hurts put a game-winning drive together. Kirk Cousins is not going to put a game-winning drive together. I think what happens is they have the lead late, and Cook ends up running to keep the ball and not give it back to the Colts for one more try. So maybe your Colts +4 is the right move, but I'll stick with Vikings money line on this one.
Okay. That's my feel. So what do you think about a couple of big games here? We got Bengals, Bucks, Titans, Chargers, Giants, Commanders. Let's just go those three.
So Bengals, Bucks sets up to be a trap game for Cincinnati.
Think so? Okay.
I just got a hunch that Tom Brady's not going to be happy about that blowout. They're at home. It's against a AFC team. That defense is better than they played. That offense is better than they played.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tempted to take Tampa +3.5.
Ooh.
I'm doing it. But you're right, though. Like what you were talking about before with Burrow getting that storyline going and beating Tom Brady, it makes total sense. I can 1,000% see it. But there's just something. There's something in me that's gonna. I'm gonna stick with Tom Terrific. I'm gonna ride Tom. But I like your narrative. I like your story. I like where it's going. It could definitely happen.
Just let him ball out against Tom Brady. He wins the Super Bowl.
He could definitely happen.
He wins MVP. All right. Titans Chargers. That's a big one for the playoffs position. The Chargers, I mean, if they lose this one, they're probably in trouble.
The Titans lose this one, they're in trouble. I mean, they already fired their GM, basically saying that how dare he trade A.J. Brown. He screwed us. If they lose against the Chargers, it's got to be Malik to finish the year. You got to see what he looks like.
If you're an owner, why don't you just stop that? Like, hey, no, you can't trade A.J. Brown.
Yeah, well, they're only getting – it's 2.5 points. Like, there's something fishy going on with that line. That's why I'm going Tennessee. Tennessee plus 2.5.
I think Tennessee wins that game. I think they're just going to grow into L.A. and just run all over them. L.A. is so hype. The hype is strained for the Chargers. It's just taking off. We've seen 800 breakdowns of that defense. We've seen, like, it's all over the timeline. from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Justin Herbert is the greatest quarterback of all time again. And they're going to get humbled. I think they're going to get humbled this week. That's my prediction for that. And then Giants Commanders. We're going to get Sunday night. They're going to
We're going to get another tie.
Thank God for that change. Like, why didn't they go Bengals Bucks? Like, wasn't that the original game? Like, they you know, I don't know here, Chris. All right, I think we're out of here. Just wanted to let you guys know. Follow us on Twitter, ALPA_QB1, ALPA_QB1 on Instagram, and then, you know, make sure you check us out at A Little Pocket Awareness on Facebook, and then hit the subscribe button, please. Hit the subscribe button, please. And we're out of here. Peace.